Yep. Good evening. Is everybody staying dry? I'll stay, okay, a little damp? A little damp, a little dry, but it's good to see you. You look beautiful regardless. We are of the stars, the dust of explosions cast across space.
We are of the earth. We breathe and live in the breath of ancient plants and beasts.
We are the universe, evolved to awareness of its own nature and its own story.
We gather together this evening, members of the great circle of humanity.
We gather around the fire, the hearth, and the altar.
May we recall in gratitude all that has given us birth.
And so we light our chalice as a symbol of our connection to the stars of the sky.
We light this chalice as a symbol of our dependence on the warmth and light of the sun.
We light this chalice as a beacon and guide that illuminates our continuing story.
Let us join together in song. Please rise as you are able. And join in singing when our heart is in a holy place.
As we settle into this place, this holy place, this sacred place, I want us to take a minute, take a breath. Feel where you are. Feel who you're with. Close your eyes if it helps you to feel that more deeply. And hear these words of thanksgiving. For the sun and the dawn, which we did not create. For the moon and the evening, which we did not make. for food which we plant but cannot grow, for friends and loved ones we have not earned and cannot buy. For this gathered company which welcomes us as we are, from wherever we have come, for all our free churches that keep us human and encourage us in our quest for beauty, truth, and love, for all things which come to us as gifts of being from sources beyond ourselves, gifts of life and love and friendship, we lift up our hearts in thanks this day. For beautiful music and the gifts for sharing it, we give thanks. I have a story I want to share with you, and I have enlisted the able assistance of Joan Van Beesler and Tom Bode in helping me to share it with you. And with any luck, someday, they will forgive me for what I've asked them to do in service of this story. We'll see. Long ago, before any of us were born, long before that, there lived an old woman. She'd lived a long time, and she'd seen many things. And it pleased her from time to time to sit and to think on all of the things that she had seen. But also, from time to time, she was bothered by what she hadn't seen, by what she had yet to understand. And of all the things that she had not yet seen, the thing that bothered her most, what she wished for more than anything else, was to understand, to see for herself, the difference between heaven and hell. Now, not as it happened, not far from the woman's home, there was a Unitarian Universalist abbey. Where there lived many monks who had taken religious vows to forego worldly pleasures and to undertake in earnest a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. The woman had really never given them much thought, but as she grew old, her wish to see the difference between heaven and hell grew strong within her, and eventually, it took her there to that abbey. "Please, please," she begged of the abbot, "I long to see the difference between heaven and hell before I die. Can you help me?" The abbot thought for a long while, and finally she agreed to grant the old woman's request. She had a blindfold placed around the woman's eyes, and then the monks led her through so many corridors and hallways and around so many turns and up and down so many staircases that she couldn't imagine or map or count them all. She was completely lost. Does that sound familiar? Finally, the monks stopped and they said to her, "First, you shall see hell." And when the blindfold was removed, the old woman saw before her a great dining hall. The hall was full of round tables, each piled high with the most delicious foods, savory stews and fruits and salads and desserts of all kinds. The aromas that wafted to her from the tables set her mouth watering and her stomach rumbling. Looking closer, the old woman noticed the people seated around those round tables. She saw that their bodies were thin and gaunt, and their faces were creased with frustration. Each person held a spoon tied to their hand, and the spoons must have been 3 feet long. As she watched, she saw them scoop up spoonful after spoonful of the fabulous feast and struggle to bring it to their mouths. Boy, did they struggle. But no matter how hard they tried, they simply could not get the food back to their mouths, although they did manage to get it back to some other places. Their hungry, desperate cries and their obvious suffering. Tore at the woman's heart. I can see that you're suffering with her. "I've seen enough," she said. "Please, please let me see heaven." And so again, the blindfold was put on her eyes, and she was led through many more corridors, finally stopping again. Now you shall see heaven. When the blindfold was removed, the old woman... It's right. When the blindfold was removed, the old woman was confused, for it seemed to her that she stood at the entrance to the same great dining hall, filled with the same round tables piled high with the same lavish feast. And again, she saw that there were people sitting just out of arm's reach of the food with those same 3-foot-long spoons. But as the old woman looked closer, she noticed 2 things. The people in heaven were plump and rosy and had happy faces. And they were wearing safety glasses. As she watched, a joyous sound of laughter filled the air. And soon the old woman was laughing too, because now she understood. She knew the difference between heaven and hell for herself, because the people in heaven were feeding each other. Oh, and we give thanks for good sports. We hope they're good sports. Oh, I love a good story, especially one so enthusiastically and acted out. There's just something about a story that invites us in. It lets us find our place, find ourselves, and recognize something true and real that lies within us. There's a familiarity there that has us settling in and smiling almost before we know it. This story is like that, particularly, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to share it here in this community. Particularly in this community, it's easy to figure out where we are in the story. We know which room we're in. I mean, this whole community is built around the, it's built in to the way we do things here at SI. It's built around feeding each other. I mean, when you registered, you picked up your little bags, and you all had a salmon sheet in there that had your work assignments on it. Things that you were going to do over the course of the week to help to provide this community for each other. But there's more than that. A lot of us have other jobs too. We're teaching children's classes, or we're getting people registered, or we're leading youth touch groups, or we're driving golf carts, or we're running tech and sound and lights for Vespers, or we're serving on the youth program panel, or the young adult program panel, or the SI panel, to help to bring it all together, or any of 1,000 other jobs that need to be done here in order for this community to be the kind of welcoming, supportive, caring, enthusiastic, vibrant, and giving community that year after year it continues to be. And there's still more, because these are really only the official, structured, and recorded ways that we feed each other. The fact is that we've created a culture here where feeding each other is the norm. And when you walk around here, you'll see 1,000 other little illustrations of this culture, from people holding doors or holding chairs for each other, to picking up and dusting off a young or not so young and errant bike rider, to not just giving directions, but actually taking someone to where they want or need to go, to suggesting a workshop that we think somebody might be interested in. I've taken an informal survey, which in this case means I've listened a lot and then I've formed an opinion, which I'm willing to share with pretty much anyone. And what I've concluded is that perhaps the most asked question throughout the week of SI is, how can I help? So we know where we fit in this story. But there's a really cool way, another really cool way that stories work. Because they create this sort of alternative world. And it's a world that's familiar enough that we can kind of slip into it and find our place, and we know where we belong in it, and we understand it pretty well. It's also rich enough that once we're there, we can start walking around in that world and departing a little bit from the story and imagining, well, if the story worked a little bit differently, this is what would happen in this world. Now, take this idea of feeding each other. In the story, although perhaps not right here, it looked pretty heavenly. But when you actually think about doing it, having it done to you, being made to do it, it looks different. Let's play with it a little bit more. What if, when somebody offered us a delicious spoonful, we didn't really like what was on the spoon? How would you react? Come on.
Nope.
I heard... I heard a gag and a no thank you. See, we all live in this heavenly world that we've created pretty comfortably for this week, and no thank you is generally what we're able to offer as a response. Or that looks really good, but you know, I kind of like that over there. But we're not always able to offer that. Sometimes that gag just comes right out, doesn't it? Sometimes it's like, right. Or even worse, what if the spoonful that's offered to us is something we're allergic to? Gag or no thank you or whatever, yes, but how does that feel to the person who offered it? To have offered, I did this once, I with love in my heart, I offered somebody a piece of cake that we had made, and she put it in her mouth, and she goes, oh God, this has coconut in it. And she spit it out, and she ran out of the room. Well, I found out that she was like anaphylactic shock, allergic to coconut, and I felt horrible. But we're still friends. What if there's something on the table that we can see, but nobody is offering it to us? What if everyone keeps feeding us, and what we really need is to have our nose scratched or a napkin? Even in heaven, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get wrapped up in our own experience right here in this little box, this body. This body that we live in that's always shouting out these urgent messages. My nose itches. This stuff tastes funny. I have whipped cream in my ear. And it's not so easy to bring ourselves back to what's heavenly about what we're trying to do. It's not so easy to remind ourselves that what's important is not the gift that's given, but the act and the spirit of giving it. It's not what's in the spoon we're offered that feels so good and right to us. It's believing and trusting and knowing that the spoon will be offered to us always, again and again and again, full of whatever wealth our whole community has to offer. That's what gives form and substance to this heaven of our vision. And when we feel that power, when we feel the power of each other's faith, when we feel that flowing toward us in abundance, when we know in our bones that that community will be there for us, we can't help but respond with the same largesse. We can't help but offer our own spoonfuls in grateful recognition of everything that has given us birth. This is the gift that we give to each other every July. This is Summer Institute at its very best. A little piece of heaven we've committed to build together here on this little patch of earth. When we remember not just what this heaven looks and tastes like, but the spirit and the vision that move us to build it, we are the universe evolved to an awareness of its own giving, extravagantly generous, and beautiful nature. When we remember it, our hearts, our entire beings truly are in a holy place. And when we leave here at the end of the week filled, because we've been fed so faithfully, we carry those hearts and that vision out into the world, uplifted and energized and that much more able to offer the world a little piece of heaven. If you would please rise in body or in spirit. And join in singing our closing hymn. And what I'd like you to do as we sing, I'll get us started, and it should be fairly familiar. If it's not, listen until you're sure you think you know what's going on and jump right in. What I'd like you to do instead of looking at the lyrics up there is I'd like you, as you sing, to look around at all of the people who have given, who are offering their spoonfuls to you all week long. And sing the song to each other as a way of making plain, explicit, and verbal what we are doing as it comes naturally to us all week long. Now let us close with these words from Universalist Minister John Murray. Go out into the highways and byways. Give the people something of your new vision. You may possess a small light, but uncover it. Let it shine. Use it in order to bring more light and understanding to the hearts and minds of men and women. Give them not hell, but hope. And courage, preach the kindness and everlasting love of God. Our worship has ended. Please be seated. And as I clean up some of the mess that I'm responsible for. I believe there are some announcements that need to be shared. Am I right?
Very good. Wow. Good evening. Woo! I just want to let you know that it was very enjoyable to play Ultimate Frisbee with a light drizzle. It was very nice. It was cooling. And I dried, so that was good too, as I mentioned the other day. This evening, if you're so inclined, if you go down by the Athletic Center to the left, they're playing Ultimate Frisbee with a glow-in-the-dark Frisbee starting at 9 p.m., and then a lot of the players will wear the glow bands. So sitting in the bleachers where they watch football games is a lot of fun to watch everybody run around in the dark, and it's a neat experience. Kind of looks sci-fi, too. We have about five or six announcements this evening. Unfortunately... All right, let's talk about announcements. last year, and this year as well, the campers at Summer Institute have a voice, and you place your comments at the end of the season, end of the camper, and we read all of those comments, and we categorize them, and we give them to the individuals that are in that area, and we evaluate them, we talk about them. So your voice is very important. And we had gotten several comments that announcements was too long. So, of course, we devised a process and some sort of solution that would make this better, and so we came up with this. And it seems as though that we went the other way in not enough announcements. So there needs to be, apparently, because I'm getting feedback, so we come up with a blend. So we have a blend. So we don't do all 17 announcements or 18, such as, does anybody know whose key this belongs to and that kind of thing? But there are some that are very important and should be announced and that kind of thing. So that's what we're going to do for the rest of the week. There is no ghost walk this evening, which is unfortunate because that's a wonderful experience. But due to the health of the guide, he's in the hospital and he's not available, so we just weren't able to do that this year. Unfortunately, just outside of Pierce, and this has been an annual event for us every year we've come to Summer Institute, there is that crosswalk that takes us over here to the sidewalk and the green. And Fred, who is our liaison to Kenyon, had to suddenly stop because a cyclist, about the age of 9, came down the path with a nice downhill grade and just zipped right across to the point where he had to slam on his brakes. This college is not accustomed to small children, and every year they all hold their throats whatever the expression is, but they're very nervous, all right, because this is an environment that is designed for big people and big people who know how to responsibly move around and not get themselves hurt. And then when you have about 103 little people who are aimlessly running around, seemingly, they are very nervous. They're afraid that someone is going to get seriously injured. And that is one spot each year that has always been a danger and a concern for us because they just, it's happened to me. I've drove through there and almost seemingly hit a child flying through on there. So whatever you can do to please impress upon your little cyclists that they may not be able to come home all in one piece, they just need to respect that that is a stop, that is a road, that it's dangerous. Fred is going to put up some sort of signage to help remind those individuals that that is a dangerous spot. And if we could treat raising our children, or our children, meaning of the village, raising our children, to also help correct them and That would be wonderful, because that would be an absolutely horrible thing. So thank you. And let's see, we got more. Oh, and on that note, really, please take note of where your children are most of the time. This is not an environment. Well, it's true. They're really being from the youth program for years and years and years. The only time that Summer Institute is watching your youth is during morning programming, and then after that, it's still the parents' responsibility to keep an eye and know where the children are. And so what we're seeing is we're getting reports of, it seems that kids are just running around and they're not being watched. So we also ask that please be mindful of where they are. Please don't feel safe that the Summer Institute staff is going to be watching out for your children as they're running around campus. Basically, the only time that we take that responsibility on is when they're in children's programming, and that's when we staff adequately the number of adults per children to ensure that safety. So please, I encourage the entire community to watch out for all of the children and feel comfortable to correct them and say, please don't do that, that's not safe. And yes, we may run into situations where then that child goes and tells their parent, and the parent comes back and says, you should not correct my children, and yada, yada, yada. But you know what? It is better to have the child safe and upset a parent than to watch the child go get hurt. That's my opinion. So, thank you. In between morning worship and theme talk, sometimes the restrooms in the back get lined up, backed up's not a good one. However, for those first-timers here, behind here, when you go all the way down in the basement, there's another set of restrooms. So when you are here in between the two, if you go out to the side to get a cup of coffee or some tea, then you have easy access to that restroom down there as well. It would help alleviate the lines here in the back. And the bookstore. I don't know if everybody knows where the bookstore, but it's just when you go inside Pierce, you go to the left. And it's open near lunch hours and supper hours. Please stop in there. Some wonderful items in there. We have some very talented individuals that create some wonderful things. So please take a look and bring a little magic of SI home with you. For a nominal fee, of course. And is there a raffle in for the scholarship? Wonderful. And please go in and donate to the scholarship program, which brings us to John Marshall. Boy, that timing was excellent. Thank you.
Funny you should mention raffle, because I got good news from Fram Mulkins. Last year, she raffled off an artistic stool. 3 years ago, she's going to do it again next year. So prepare yourself for that. Yesterday, between morning workshop and our theme speaker, I was standing over here, and this wonderful wet woman started walking down. And it was all kind of crowded. And she grabbed my hand and put something warm, wet, and crumpled in it. And then I think she whispered something like, scholarship fund, and then went on, you know? And I thought, okay, I can do this. So I put it in my pocket, not to make a big display of it or at the moment. Then later, and here it is, all dried out. But it was warm and dripping and all that. And I noticed on the surface, there was several dollar bills. And then later, I open it up, and here's this check for $50.
Yes!
I really don't care how you give to the scholarship fund. It could be wet or dry or crumpled or flat or even room temperature. It's okay. You're right. Now, some other dear soul, two dear souls. I don't know which is the most dear soul, but they dropped this out of their pocket at lunch. Well, someone picked it up and said, "Oh my goodness, if I give this to Lost and Found, it may disappear." So they thought, bingo, there's Marshall, give it to the scholarship fund. This is a wonderful attitude. I like that. Now, if you really lost less than $10 in ones, see me and we'll negotiate, okay? I like doing this. Why I enjoy giving money to the scholarship fund, but I can't read it because I have a microphone in my face. There are people in my church and in other UU churches who are bright, witty, imaginative, and great to be around. Some may have children who would benefit from our programs and develop their from our programs. We help these people, by helping these people who would otherwise not afford to come, we are improving our own experience at SI. Now to show you how paranoid I am about identifying people, if you'll notice this person wrote their name there, I don't want to lose this. I donate to the scholarship fund because I remember when I was on welfare with three children and needed to be in a place like this, there was no other way. Thank you. There are some interesting people here at SI, and I think I've had a, kind of like a religious conversion. Now, don't get real excited about that. Now, it's only about angels. There are a number of angels here who I can't tell you about because it's secret. I can't tell you what they do because it's secret, and I can't tell you the number of them because they're secret. But there's some wonderful people here. And thank you from the reciprocants to those of you who you know who I'm talking about, who I'm just going to call scholarship angels. Thank you. The last thing I want to say, again, this is from an email, and I didn't want to lose it and have the name on it, so I cut it out of the email. I got a request for scholarship applications from this young man, and I sent it out, and I got this email back from him, and after I read it, if you're here, come see me in the next couple days. I want to shake your hand. You're a special guy. So after some financial wrangling and deciphering, I discovered that I am not in need of a scholarship at all. I will still be attending SI, though, and I would rather the scholarship money go to someone in more dire need than myself always. Thank you so much for all your assistance. If you're out there, come see me. I want to shake your hand. This is the kind of... Thank you.
But the lead-in was just too great. I couldn't let it slide. All right, we got three more, and they're fun, so that's good, because that was heavy. The third graders decorated chalices for their social action. They will be in the bookstore tomorrow, and the proceeds will go to the scholarship fund. That just all ties in. It's amazing. That's part of the SI magic, of course. More SI magic. Samantha Taylor, 9 years of age, learned how to ride her bicycle today. Yeah, it's fantastic. And we also have a very special person here today, and her name is Alyssa. And Alyssa, today, it's her 30th birthday! Woo! Oh, welcome to the 30s. It's wonderful, it really is. Although I think 40s is better. Oh, right here. I thought she might not want to. All right, so since she's here, please stand, please, for the community. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lisa. Happy birthday to you. And of course, you have your husband to blame for this. All right, now that's it. Thank you. See you tomorrow.